And Isabel Rowe joins us now with a backstory, because schools are safe. That was the line repeated often by the Prime Minister, the Education Minister and the Federal Health officials last year when this pandemic kicked off. Coronavirus cases were relatively rare in children and they weren't causing major spreading events. But fast forward to now, and as I was just mentioning there with Jodie McVernon, Southeast Queensland is dealing with a lockdown caused by an outbreak in schools where children are making up the majority of cases. Isabel Rowe is taking a look at this.
Yeah, so cast your mind back, Fran, to mid-March 2020, if that doesn't cause you too much stress. We were just learning that no Australian was allowed to travel overseas. We were talking about what COVID was, what it could do to our hospital system. We were learning about social distancing and hand washing. Sporting venues and pubs and places of worship were starting to close, places where there were big groups of people together. And it seemed completely insane at the time. But there was one place where lots of people gathered that the Prime Minister Scott Morrison insisted was safe.
Schools should remain open. That is the health advice. Interestingly, this is also what Singapore has done. Singapore has been one of the more successful countries. In Singapore, the schools are open.
By his side, then Chief Health Officer Brendan Murphy agreed.
We believe very strongly that it's in the best interest of our children and the nation at this time to keep schools open.
It was a bit jarring for people to understand. Kids weren't allowed to play in a playground together, but they were meant to pack into classrooms. But the federal government maintained its stance that schools would remain open for two main reasons. Firstly, that children were expected to get mild disease, if any, and they were unlikely to spread it. And that school and education is crucial for children, and the economy couldn't tick over if adults had to stay home to look after the kids. But things moved pretty fast in those early days. Hours before a national cabinet meeting on the 22nd of March, New South Wales, the ACT and Victoria took matters into their own hands. New South Wales had 500 cases at this point, and with a week or so to go until the end of Term 1, Gladys Berejiklian moved students to online learning unless the parents needed to drop them to go to campuses. In Victoria, with 290 cases or so, Dan Andrews called the end of term early, and days later, Queensland followed suit. The state's approaches, though, were all over the place at this time. So on the 16th of April last year, the National Cabinet agreed to a national principles for schools education. And it said, the health advice consistently provided by the AHPPC is that attendance at a school campus for education represents a very low risk to students. And yet in April 2020, just before term two, the Victorian Premier, Daniel Andrews, was not convinced.
School is going to look very different in term two. If you can learn from home, you must learn from home. I'll put it to you another way. We've got about 1 million students enrolled in government and non-government schools. We cannot have 1 million students moving around the Victorian community every day. All that will do is spread the virus.
After term two, New South Wales and Queensland made plans to get kids back to school, but the Victorian government held back, something the Federal Education Minister Dan Tehan was not happy about.
Sure, take a sledgehammer to defeating the coronavirus, but why are you taking a sledgehammer also to your school system? The national medical expert advice is saying that it's safe for children to be back in the classroom. Then why wouldn't they be? This is a failure of leadership.
The federal government's argument then was that keeping kids in the classroom as much as possible was better for them and society. And the health situation back then was a bit different. A piece in the conversation looks at data from Victoria, which shows about 1,600 of the more than 19,000 cases in the state's second wave were associated with schools. But importantly, 90% were just small outbreaks, so it didn't spread hugely. And that AHPPC advice still stands, that attendance at a school campus represents a very low health risk to students. But things are changing with Delta. The Royal College of GPs says that children and adolescents between ages 0 and 19 account for more COVID cases in Australia right now than all cohorts aged 70 and over. And in Queensland at the moment, the outbreak is centred around schools and it is spreading among students. So it's too early to say whether this outbreak in Queensland is any bigger than the school outbreaks last year. And of course, we know that children are statistically unlikely to end up in hospital. But a far cry from the 2020 message that school campuses are safe, the New South Wales Premier Gladys Berejiklian is now not letting Year 12s back on campus in Sydney hotspots without a vaccine.
Dr. Chant will tell us she would be concerned about having anyone interact with others in those communities where the virus is very, very virulent or very present. So Dr. Chant's advice to us was if you want Year 12 face-to-face in those local government areas, they must get vaccinated. And that's why we're working hard to provide that in the next few weeks.
The New South Wales Premier will release her plan to get HSC students back to school in the coming days.
Isabel, thank you very much.
You're welcome.